You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
I mean, experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album.
Oh yeah.
I feel like we've already listened to this a few weeks back. I thought it was the same thing. Anyway, it's time for another edition of Two Guys,
One Album.
And this week, we actually have a guest, our first Two Guys, One Album guest, who is a huge fan and of, not of us, of this
man. Yes, I am a fan of you guys.
Of course. Marty DeRosa.
Wow.
Good to be here.
Marty, it's so good to see you, man. Yeah. This is a big moment for the podcast.
I'm very excited.
Marty's a big guy in the podcast community at Wrestling with Depression.
Yeah.
And Marty and Sarah loves wrestling.
Yeah.
And Singles Only Podcast with Paul Farmer.
I've been on there, yeah.
He's been on there a couple of times. And I know you're a big music fan, and we're roughly the same age, although we have different upbringings, given your music taste.
Yes, different.
And this is Alkaline Trio. This is, you said this is an album you wanted to cover.
Of course.
And it's called what?
This is Goddamn It.
What? This is Goddamn It.
Goddamn It.
Oh,
one Goddamn
word.
It, Paul.
One word, Goddamn It.
Why? First of all, what's your attraction to this album?
Dude, what there
happened?
Not
what?
To love? First of all, this first song that you hear on the album, I had
Cringe
heard it on a I had heard it on a compilation album, and I just remember hearing it right away and being like, "Whoa, who is this?" And that back in the day, either like Maximum Rock and Roll or like Alternative Press or Spin, those AP, magazines, you'd kind of look for new bands and see what's what, or like back then too, it was like a record label. It was like, "Oh, they're on Asian Man." Okay,
they had a
that's
CD
a good
that came in AP, compilation,
So. This was like a compilation. I think it was like either like a Hopelessly Devoted to You, or something.
I remember those. Those were huge at the time.
And they were like 25 songs for like $6.99. So you're just like, I'm getting it. That's all there is about it.
But all these songs are like 1 minute long. So do you really get your
actually,
money's worth?
Paul, this is 2 minutes and 24 seconds.
Yeah,
and these songs are efficient. And this was 98, so I was like in my freshman or sophomore year of college, and these are mostly songs about girls and heartbreak, and I was just like, yes, please.
So much yes. You know, before we dive too far into the album, Paul, we didn't even introduce ourselves.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The host
I thought
the
everyone knows. I'm Paul Farivar.
And this is Michael Heidemann. This is one of the greatest albums, if not one of the greatest bands, in my opinion.
Wow.
Especially over the last few years, the immense amount of influence they've had on people and how they kind of changed the skate rock, punk rock game back in the early 2000s. We're reviewing Goddamn It, the debut album by the Chicago-based punk rock band Alkaline Trio, released October 13th, 1998, through Asian Man, like you had mentioned.
Asian Man.
It was always like Asian Man, Drive Through, Fueled by Ramen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those were
Vagrant.
Fueled by Ramen had a lot of great bands.
Yeah, and you would just, that was another thing too, where it's just like, you know, back in the day you'd see the label and you're like, well, if they're on that, they've got to be okay.
Right.
You know, I'll take a gamble sometimes, right?
Well, let me ask you this, and just looking at it from a perspective that wasn't into this power punk trio sound, what makes them different than Blink-182?
Blink-182 is more silly. This is more serious. Songs about death.
Okay.
Songs about heartbreak. Drinking. I love a good, you know me, I love a good drinking song.
I do.
A song that romanticizes alcohol. I and that's just, there's still a part of me that's like, yeah, drinking alone. Yeah. Drinking about a girl who left you. Yeah. Like that's what I think rock and roll's all about.
So it's the lyrics
The lyrics. It's just the band is just super tight. I love the sound. The Matt Skiba is just a great singer. His voice is like perfect for this genre of music. And the songs are so catchy that like right away you're just like, yep, that's stuck in my head. And I can listen to this album that's, you know, from 20 years ago, and it doesn't, I'm not, I don't cringe at like, oh, I like that. Ooh, you know,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
some stuff I'll listen to where I'm just like, oh my God,
the what, song is what called was cringe.
I? Speaking of the first song, it's called cringe.
Cringe. Yeah. And you will not cringe if you listen to
this album.
But this holds up. This isn't like, you know, I'm not trying to pick on bands or whatever, but like, you know,
this is the podcast for that.
Yeah,
that's all
I
basically do.
But like bands that I genuinely liked back then, but then you listen now and you're like,
doesn't hold up.
It's a silly or whatever.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
But at the time, yeah, that was silly. I liked a good silly song too. Like I enjoyed, you know, like Bucko 9 and stuff like that. Like just silly songs.
Can we all just say that at least one time we all spun Chumbawamba's Tum Thumping and
sure.
enjoyed
it's a great
it?
Song. Oh, sure.
Come on.
It's a great
sure.
song. We covered it in my band Go Tom. It's fine.
All right, you ready to dive into
number
the next
two,
song?
I like the songs are just one word, cop. Does this bring back memories?
Oh, yeah. Listen to they make it sound like sirens with the guitar. Come on, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, I never noticed that before.
Yeah.
Learning some new stuff here, Paul.
This was a song that after 9/11, they weren't allowed to play it on a lot of radio stations because it was negative to police, to law enforcement.
It sounds like a guy who listened to Van Halen and was like, I can't play that, but let me see if I can make a different sound with my guitar.
But yeah, this is a great song about knowing a dude who became a cop and now he's just he's a dick. You know, he's not a cool dude anymore. And it's like, what happened to you, man? You turned out a cop?
The best part is it's from a band that came from the teeniest, tiniest town in Illinois, McHenry and Crystal Lake. That whole Algonquin, McHenry County area basically is a farm town overrun by just drinking and pretending to skate. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know.
Shout out.
I know a couple dudes from there. And yeah, big skaters, mm-hmm. big into punk rock.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, yeah, it was just like a whole thing. And then I remember the first time I saw the Alkaline Trio was at a record store in Lansing, Illinois.
Wow.
They did an in-store and just ripped it. And it was just like, I was there with this girl I really was into. And I was just like, oh, this is all just so wonderful.
Come on,
and then I remember
man.
I was like, Alkaline Trio. I'm like, they sing that song Cringe on that compilation. I'm like, yeah, I'm going for sure. And then I was like blown away. It was one of those like, I'll take a shirt, I'll take an album, mm-hmm. I'll take a sticker, I'll take everything. You're my new favorite band. I like this girl. This is all going great. Yeah.
The album itself actually wanted more of a satanic vibe, as Matt Skiba has often said.
Yeah.
He had a deep interest into this guy named Anton LaVey. LaVey,
yeah.
Sorry. From
Who's
the
that?
Church
he's
of
He's a
Satan.
Really fun dude. If you Google him, he's like bald with the goatee, and he's always got pictures with like naked women. He'd have these parties at his house. And yeah, Alkaline Trio has a lot of like satanic undertones. Like their logo is like the heart with the skull and everything.
You
with
have the
it.
Tattoo?
Yeah, of course.
It.
Of course.
Oh my God.
You don't have it?
No. I don't.
Oh.
Okay, that's,
of course.
I was going to bring that up later, but that's the one thing that ties
Look at how old and faded
events.
It is. It's all old and faded.
Marty DeRosa has an Alkaline Trio tattoo on his arm.
Yeah.
That's
a big boy.
Truth.
A big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so close to getting dreadlocks because I loved Adam Duritz. That's a true story.
Yeah, that's, you know,
that's
devotion. That's devotion. But I remember, that was just like, and like the album cover is 3 clocks that are each at 6 o'clock, so 666.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and they have another design with like coffins and stuff like that, and there's a great old DVD called The Show Must Go Off that was a Halloween show at the Metro, and they were like dressed as priests and stuff.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's just fun.
One of the best-selling vinyls that they had, too, was that Halloween
show. That Halloween one, yeah.
Wow.
Supposedly, folklore says that Matt Skiba used to set his alarm clock when he was a bike messenger to 6 o'clock in the morning, and when the alarm clock would go off, the first word out of his mouth would be, God damn it.
God damn it.
So hence the title of the album.
This is true,
this
Marty?
Is true. There's a great, on YouTube, there's a four-part, what was supposed to be a four-part, like, I don't know, independently made Alkaline Trio documentary, and the fourth part is just not available. It's just not there. I wish I knew what the guy who uploaded them have like three, and then I don't know if he died or something or
the
what.
The mystery continues.
Yeah.
You guys ready to dive into the next one?
San Francisco is the next name of the next song.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Those intros alone bring
they
me
They definitely
back to
have
a good
different
time.
Intros. Then, like, they could have just. But then your, it just goes into
sorry,
that
Paul,
same.
It's not your typical Duritz hit.
Yeah.
This is a good song.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. The first two didn't really hit me, but this one's
How
like
cringe
that.
Doesn't hit you is crazy to me. Mm-hmm. That's a song that you should want to like flip this table over. It's so fun.
I don't have that anger.
God.
The amount of passion that goes into Matt Skiba's voice when he's screaming out those vocals is something that no other artist can do and be so visceral from his belly and just years of just drinking and smoking cigarettes. Mm-hmm. You can just feel the feel the pain.
You've now, like cultivated that great voice. You've right? like trained your voice.
When they would play in concerts, were they the band? And I didn't see them or anything live. But do they keep their straps like super low and play their guitars really low, like the like everyone in Blink 182 and all those bands?
I mean, I don't. It's not like over the top. I wouldn't say.
You know what I'm talking about?
But it was
about,
great
though, right?
too. Like sure. And that was the thing too. We were talking about with this album is just like a banger. Like they're all every song on it's so great. And then some of their other album, their older albums, you know, it was one of those things of like just be this band. Like I think their fan base just it's and I get it as an artist, you probably want to keep
grow a bit,
grow, but we want them like this. So a couple years ago, they were at the Metro for like I don't know, maybe four shows in a row, and they would do like two albums, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you didn't know what album you were going to hear. And like when Cringe started, we were like, yeah, like we had an idea.
You were there? Nice.
Yeah. We had an idea. I went to like almost all of them.
Oh,
and,
man.
But you'd have to get through that first album of the newer stuff. And it's kind of like, come on. Like, okay, that's the last song. Here we go. And then it's like, all right, here comes the next album. And it was like, they knew too of the six albums or the eight albums, whatever. It was just like, it was like a succeeding basketball teams in the tournament. It's like, you're getting the best album and then maybe not so good album, you know? So it was like, And when you heard Cringe, the Metro just
exploded.
And
they like wouldn't tell you which one you're going
to see? No, you didn't know.
Because they knew that everyone would want to go to the same concert.
Yeah.
And every time they play the Metro, it sells out in like maybe
instantly,
30 seconds.
Yeah, and just like, yeah, and there's a lot of Chicago references in especially the older songs.
Well, not San Francisco, yep. This song.
Well, he moved to San Francisco. He's in San Francisco, so there's some San Francisco stuff and things like that. But yeah, but it's just like, you know, there's a lot of like Chicago references, obviously. So when you're at the concert and you've had a couple beers, everyone's singing along, and there's a Chicago reference.
Avenue. Yep.
Dump me in Lake Michigan. Yeah. You know, everybody goes crazy.
Playing the Fireside Bowl.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I ever saw them at the Fireside. I don't believe I have. I don't think I ever saw them at the Fireside.
They still do concerts there? No.
No.
I think
those were all ages shows.
Those were bananas. That's like the one thing I was just like, every once in a while, like something will close and you didn't go, oh man, but I definitely saw like so many shows at the Fireside, and it was like, yeah, it was as good as everyone says it was. Like, it was cool. Yeah. It's not like, no, they should just romanticize it.
But Metro is way, I mean, Metro is the greatest place to see a live concert, no matter what.
I agree, but also at Fireside, though, when people are kicking out the ceiling because they're, you know, on someone's shoulders, like, that's pretty awesome, too.
Or at Double Door before it shut down, that was another great place to see a show. It's just that extended long bar and the uncomfortable, like,
oh, Double
way
Door
up
was
to
great.
The top.
Yeah. I agree with that.
A lot of good places here in Chicago. Let's go over the band members, I suppose, right now. Matt Skiba, the founding member. We had bassist and co-vocalist Dan Andriano, and Derek Grant, who is doing amazing things for music right now. Derek plays with the Vandals now. He plays basically he's the go-to drummer for punk rock music right now.
He's not playing for Blink 182, though.
And that was one of those deals, too, where it's like, The one guy leaves and then they get him and then they're like, all right, now we're doing this. And that's one of those, like, I always wonder if you're the guy, because I mentioned before we started recording that I'm reading this book about the like Seattle music scene during the grunge era called Everybody Loves This Town. And same thing, like, guys getting fired, like the old Nirvana drummer, like joined the military,
right?
Yeah, and it's like
the first Blink-182 drummer left.
That was the thing too, where they said like the original drummer for the Alkaline Trio was just kind of like, I don't want to tour all that much. And I think he was like in school or something, or had a girlfriend or something. And then like, we got to get serious, man.
Yeah. Glenn Porter was his name. And he also had bassist Rob Doran, who are just kicking their own asses right now.
No, Rob's he's a corporate lawyer in San Francisco. who's laughing now?
Yeah. He has the Alkaline law firm.
What's the next song? We got Nose Over Tail.
This is a great, this one's so good.
So far, San Francisco's a good song. I'll give you guys that. I was listening to that.
I've never heard an audience scream lyrics harder than this song.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, this is one of those, you're going to get mosh pitting even if you're like in your early 60s.
Oh, yeah. This is a great song.
Still like San Francisco better.
Okay. So you say that, if I was doing like, if I was ranking these songs, but that's the thing too, though. It's like, because Cringe was the first one, so it's like, I hold it so near and dear to
me. But a lot of those bands, when you get their song, and we talked about this last week on Blind Melon, I bought that album for No Rain because I love that song so much when it came out, but then I loved the album so much afterwards. I was like, every other song is so much better.
Mm-hmm. Which was a gamble, too, back then.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean,
the
90s. Like, man, I had so many albums where it's like, you got that one song and then the rest of it. I remember trying to be like, okay, let me listen to it exactly how they wanted me to, from first song to last song. What's interesting about a lot of these songs is I got a lot of them off of Napster. So they would like cut abruptly, and it's weird hearing the end of some of these songs. Like when we get way down to like Message from Kathleen, like that was a song that cut out on my Napster. And the first time I heard it on the album, I'm like, oh, there's like 15 more seconds to this song. This is amazing. It was like a treat.
So in August 2008, at this time, the album sold over 94,000 copies. Right now, it's probably, close to 1.2 billion.
96,000.
Oh, there you go.
Because everybody stole it probably from Napster, too. They probably would have made way more
perfect
money.
Time to spread music, too, because I don't know if a lot of these bands would be as big if it wasn't for Napster and Kazaa.
Yep. And I can't imagine a mix CD that I put together around this time that didn't have multiple Alkaline Trio songs on it.
Did you make CDs for girls?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sort of.
Oh, yeah. And I did my own, like, I took, like, every punk band slower songs and put them on one. You know,
be
like
Yellow Card would be on there.
I slowed it down. Oh, Yellow Card.
Yellow Card.
Interesting.
See, I liked Yellow Card. I actually got into their song, but then he bought the album, and that album sucks.
Which album are you talking about?
The one with Ocean Avenue on it.
Yeah, the one.
That's still, you know, that song. Yeah. And I think a lot of these songs, too, and a lot of these bands, whether it was like Tony Hawk or like video games, if they got on that was a huge deal.
Man, what a weird time for music, too, because there were so many different ways to spread it before the internet really took off. You're right. It was video games, MTV, and then those mixed, when albums were just their own mixtapes, like those
sampler CDs.
Punk Goes Pop was another way to find out.
Oh, for sure. Punk Goes Pop, and then it was like Punk Goes Acoustic.
Yep.
And all the different ones. I remember, too, growing up watching JBTV in Chicago, and that was like a big, like, I just remember I would just record the whole thing, that 120 minutes, and just kind of like, all right, where's my new band? I want a new band.
You want to be ahead of the game. Yeah,
for sure.
The same way. I love live music. Different style, but same.
And it was a bummer because now, obviously, you hear, oh, I like that song I heard. You know, you can Shazam a song when you're at a bar or something or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then instantly, within a minute, have their entire discography at your fingertips, stuff like that. But it's like, if you watch JBTV and you're just like, who are the Descendants? What is this all about? Yeah. It's like, well, then you got to go the next day to the record store, Best Buy or whatever, and then buy. And then what do I buy? Do you start with the greatest hits? What do? You know, and you got to just kind of figure it all out.
Yes. And you couldn't listen to this stuff a lot of those places, so you had to just buy it.
Do you remember when that was the big thing? Like when Blockbuster, was it Blockbuster Warehouse? Or when they had their music?
Sound Warehouse?
Something like that, where you could like sit in a circle. They had like these circular kind of things, and you could listen to an album.
Tower Records did that too.
Yeah.
They would let you listen to the stuff that they thought was good. And then the staff had staff picks.
Could you just bring them something off the shelf and be like, I want to listen to this?
You could. Not the places I went to.
Because I loved like a used CD store. You could be like, hey, can you put this on?
Yeah.
And then you listen.
Used stores, you always could.
Sure.
And that was, you could just say, oh, I want to hear it.
I remember I sold a bunch of my CDs. Because again, you buy stuff, you're just like, ah, man,
Didn't hold up.
Or it's
the farm.
Whatever.
You remember the farm? Groovy Chain?
And I remember I sold a bunch of these. It was called like the CD Trading Depot in Maryville, Indiana. And he just wrote on like a business card, like, you've got, you know, $50 in credit or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember I washed him in my jeans. I washed the thing in my jeans. And I was like, damn.
That's like at the same time when you could rent video games from a store called Altendo. And it was, you need like a library card to go to these
back
places.
And forth. Yeah, no, they would give you credit on this at Sight and Sounds. It was a place by us in Downers Grove. That's where we did it.
But yeah.
Back in my hood.
How many U2 albums did you get from that?
You know what? The thing I never did was I wouldn't sell CDs back. I would always be like, you know what? Because one time I did it when I was young, and then I didn't like an album, and then I wish I didn't sell it back because I was like, oh, this is really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get to do it. But after that, I to this day, I still have the Farm Groovy Chain, and that album is horrible.
That's where I feel like I have this weird like love-hate thing with like, I feel bad that there's no more Tower Record in Chicago, but it's also like, yeah, but you sold us a lot of those bad CDs.
Yeah.
You know, like I love iTunes.
Shame
I love to be able to just maybe buy a couple songs off of an album or
and
whatever.
And now there's no benefit for a band to make a good album because it's like, if you can make one great hit and five shitty songs, they're going to go for the one hit.
Yeah.
But there is something really to be said, though, about like listening to a whole album 100%. The whole way it's supposed to be and like, You hear kind of like, you go up, you go down. And
I still download it on iTunes when my artists come.
Yeah, yeah.
I still, I'm like one of the last people who still buys iTunes stuff because I didn't do Spotify. I'm like, fuck this, I'm not doing it.
No, if I like something, I'll buy it, the whole album. And I have the Alkaline Trio's new album's coming out and I have it pre-ordered.
Yeah. I'll buy like my bands, like My Morning Jacket. And
you want to support the bands that you like and then, you know, just screw the rest of them.
Right.
Yeah. Worth it. I know they're always like, oh, they make all their money off touring anyway or whatever.
That's true.
Like, okay. I'll go to that too.
I had a friend who, not a friend. This is, it was a friend of a friend, friend of a friend. And she tried to steal a Bayside, you know, the band Bayside, a Bayside shirt and got kicked out of the Metro. And the entire time, all of our group of friends were like, what are you thinking? This is a band that tours for you and you're going to steal their, and she got kicked out and it was the whole thing.
You gotta go
support that music.
But the whole, she was being a rebel for a band that was rebellious.
Yeah, that's
I'm just kidding.
It's the idea the currency of a t-shirt in music is just like
it's the Dreads talking right now. This is the Dreads version of Paul.
No, I get it. I am an artist friendly person. I agree.
You ready to jump into the
next
song?
As the next song we're on. What's the story here?
Great intro.
And it gets real fast here. Stale as a 2-day
apple, beer, cigarette, both double time. Feeling my gut lacking sunshine. I like when they do the harmonies on those songs.
Yeah, they're good at that. Better off walking away while you still can. She was passing through the Kalama Hills. You slipped and slid on my gut spill. My better half was praying for you to fall. Oh, you like this. You like this, Paul. Look at you.
Slipped on my gut spill.
Oh, I heard slip and fall, and as a lawyer, I was like, oh, man, wait. I hope she's okay. I like this.
Went
song.
Down like a prostitute in court. That's just like, it's a good lyric, man.
It's another legal reference. I like this song.
It's really connecting with
As you were? That's a good song.
As you were.
How many mixtapes did that song make?
That was in the upper echelon of Alkaline Trio songs for sure.
As you were, just the if you wrote it out on the mixtape, it almost kind of sends a message.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny too, where it's one of those things too with a lot of these songs. You're just like, oh yeah, that's what it's called. Like there's some where it's just like I could sing every word to it, but I'm like, what is it called?
Number five. Yeah,
that's a really good point because I'm looking at these. Enjoy Your Day. I could probably sing every single word, which is coming up next.
Now this is where we take a little softer turn.
I'm looking forward to this moment. We're going to share it together.
Yeah.
Enjoy Your Day.
And this is with the bass player, Danny Drano, singing this one.
No one knows what it's like.
You know what? Often, Dan sings a lot of the slower songs.
Yeah.
I think he's like the sensitive one in the band.
He puts out his own solo stuff that is acoustic. And
for the super fans that like when he sings.
Yeah. Now, this is where a lot of Alkaline Trio detractors will be like, oh, these songs and him and like his lispy singing and like...
His lispy singing.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Just you listen to him sing a little bit. I'm broken hearted on the floor. My tears seep through. Oh. I can see that. The first time I heard it, I was like, okay, right, I see you. I see what you did there. But this is one of those where if there's any songs of theirs where I'm like, it's sometimes these like slower ones. But man, oh man, when I was 21 and heartbroken, this was like
the go to.
Because they're all just like, I hope he bought you roses. You know, you're just like, yeah.
It's a breakup song.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Dan. He's so sensitive.
How many songs did he get on an album?
Usually one or two. One or two.
He's like the
solo.
It's like the Andy Summers on Police Synchronicity, Michael.
Oh, you're right. Well, no, I give Dan a little bit more credit for that. Nobody leaves during Dan's songs. Unless it's this song, because I don't think this would be the... This is the Get a Beer song.
Yeah, but this also, I don't see them doing this at a concert much unless wants to go be a bad boy and do something.
Would they play the whole album at the concert?
They did that.
Because there is a lot of Dan fans. He's in this band called The Hawk, and people follow him there, and he does a lot of acoustic shows by himself now, too. And he actually tours with a few other front guys from some bands.
And I think, acoustic, punk done acoustically is, there's I like it quite a bit.
You know, Matt Skiba sings one of the with the only sad song that I can think about Skiba singing at the moment is Radio, which is like one of the best songs by Alkaline Trio.
And like the lyrics on that one are a treat.
Yes.
All right.
You know, we
I believe you.
We're getting through this album. We got to have another album
for sure
with you, Marty,
yeah,
where we look at a Hot Water Music and their connection.
The split. Yeah.
What's the split?
They did a split album together.
With another
they
band?
Did some of each other's songs.
For some reason, it took over the suburbs.
That's a good idea.
Everyone was spinning this.
Everyone had that.
Yeah.
It was farms are just rocking.
And
we were tilling the soil, listening to these on our iPads. We even had iPads at the time.
Skiba and Kevin Seconds did that one. They did a split.
Oh, yeah.
That was good. The City That Day. They had a couple, they had some good ones on there.
You know, it's a lot more genuine seeing those punk rock guys work together than it is like Flo Rida and Ariana Grande these days.
Oh yeah, because I feel like these guys might have actually been in the same room together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. And gotten tattoos of each other's bands.
Yeah,
like, on their bodies.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did that.
Feels good. That's what I liked when I went to the a couple of those nights. I had some friends who worked at the Metro, so we got in like the VIP area. We were like hanging in the balcony, and you see all the other dudes from a lot of bands were there watching and stuff like that.
Support,
yeah.
I mean, that community in Chicago with all those bands are still tight to this day. And I mean, I don't know if you consider Lucky Boys Confusion, all those guys too, but those guys were the same. Mm-hmm. They all still play on each other's shows and all that stuff. But yeah. Well, the next song is called, number seven, is called Clavicle.
Yes.
This is a...
I just Googled only song named Clavicle is by them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is a good one.
This is about when he broke his...
This is about
clavicle.
meeting a girl and liking her.
Why is it called Clavicle?
Just listen.
Yeah, you'll find out.
I thought he felt like on his...
You're missing so much content right now.
Here it comes.
Next to you, kissing the curve in your clavicle.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Hell yeah, dog. I want to wake up naked next to you, kissing your clavicle.
He just didn't want to say shoulder.
Clavicle,
you gotta go clavicle, man.
It's
more
ring to it.
It's more medical.
It?
It's more dark. That's like when a crime novel, they slit her clavicle. Like, that's, yeah.
This band worships Satan, Paul.
Come on,
you gotta
man.
Understand.
Come on, man.
I just feel like the clavicle was just awkward sounding, to be honest.
I heard there was an interview with Mike Park, who ran Asian Man Records, and he was a little, not mad, but when they did the 666 and stuff, he was afraid his mom was going to be like, who are these boys? Who are these boys you're making music with?
When I first started getting into Alkaline Trio, I would look up articles and videos of them, and a lot of it centered around the fact that if you heard their album backwards, like, it was Satan talking to you and all this like crazy
stuff. I would love to do so many like little Easter eggs like that.
Yes.
I mean, some of it you see now, like a Lady Gaga video, and you're like, okay, like, they know the whole like conspiracy theory of like the Illuminati and stuff like that.
Well, have you put out a comedy record yet, Marty?
No, not yet. I'm recording one in November.
Nice. November.
Yeah.
How many Easter eggs are you gonna put in that?
Can we so hear many Satan? Yeah.
Well,
if you rewind the final joke, it'll just be like kill everybody.
It's gonna be a
murder
Gallagher joke.
Your neighbor. Yeah.
Some watermelon pops out.
Yeah.
Well, clavicle backwards doesn't spell anything. It's illa viala. So it doesn't.
You know, the original lyrics were tickling your tibia.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. All right, let's get into the next one real quick.
My Little Needle. Ooh, this sounds dark.
This album can do no wrong. And if we
My
get it to play,
needle.
It's gonna really rock.
For sure not.
Hold
it's for sure not a, the only song written with a needle. Look at that.
No. Nice chunky guitars. Chugga 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 chugga. Yeah.
Nice. It's got a hook. Is Skiba singing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You'll never wake from. It's kind of just a good song about throwing your life away with drugs, you know? Trading your bike for a shopping cart. When I fall down,
I fall apart. You know, when I listen back to this, there's that line. When I listen to this album, all I can see is the amount of people just screaming it in my face when I would see them perform live.
Oh, yeah.
It feels so good. So even listening to this album kind of, it's another layer almost to listening to this album. Did Skiba ever have a drug problem?
Oh, yeah.
He did?
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. He's got some legendary performances that have went really bad. He had, like, a couple solo projects. And it was, like, him and Matt Skiba and The Secrets, I think. They had bad show.
Secrets. And wasn't there, like, an Angels
And there was
band?
Another one. Yeah, there was a couple other ones. It was, like, yeah, The Secrets were one. And then he did another one as well. They were cool. You know, I got them all. I was all like, I'm in. I'll listen.
Oh yeah. And speaking of, I said that Dan was in a band called The Hawk. He's not. It was called The Falcon.
Different bird altogether. Yeah. Different body part altogether.
By the way, if you wanna talk to us and get your own insight into this album or any corrections, we always like hearing from you.
We are nothing if we're not accurate.
That's very true. twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. Yeah. You can reach out to us.
We are gonna respond to all the people that had some strong comments and fans of ours.
I was always blown away when people didn't like The Alkaline Trio. They're like, ugh, them.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I don't get it.
And I know it's that thing too. It's like when a band is from a city, there's people who have connections with them and might know, oh,
personally,
you were a dick to me, or we played with them,
yeah,
or this or that. Or I don't know. I was just kind of like, oh, I like them. And I remember a couple people, they're not my cup of tea.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
That's what I would say. At that time frame,
sure,
it was a different style than what I was listening to.
Yeah.
You know, I was a fan of like the Pumpkins during that time frame. They're one of my favorite bands. And the power punk thing never spoke to me the way that it did. I did get into it later in life.
Yeah.
That's when I got, like, when I was playing music in bands, as I realized I wasn't going to be a good guitarist. I was like, oh, these songs are way easier to play.
See, I don't, yeah, like, to me,
chords, yeah,
it just, this, like, punk, and especially a little more, like, poppy punk.
Yeah.
This, I feel, is pop punk that has credibility to it. It's not just, like, we're not getting into the, like, more
jokey,
you know, emo stuff or
right,
the jokey stuff, or which, again, is fine. But this is, like, I'm okay being like, yeah, this is my shit right here.
Well,
I like this.
Emo, yeah. At this time, like, Dashboard Confessional was more emo,
sure,
style.
Sure,
and all
sure,
that.
Sure.
And then the jokey stuff with, like, Blink-182.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, hearing that what the lyrics are about, I mean, this is the first time I actually knew that because, you know, Blink-182, their lyrics are silly, but their songs are catchy as fuck. You can't argue with it.
Yeah.
But you just hear some of these songs, and to me, I'm just like, it causes like a
resonance.
Yeah.
Sure,
and it makes me like excited. Like some
but
songs
how much
I'll
of
hear.
That is, how much of that is you thinking back to that era in your life, you know?
Sure. But I mean, even newer stuff though, I'll hear, and it's just like,
still resonates.
Yeah. Like I'll hear like a newer band, like off their heads, like a newer punk band, and I hear their stuff, and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's it.
If you can, if you're genuine with your music and you're playing, you're singing from the heart, then you can feel it. You can tell pretty quickly if a song is overproduced. Hence why I never got into Hoobastank, because it just felt too damn produced. I mean, they made good music, but I just couldn't feel it. Couldn't feel that visceral yell. Speaking of that, let's get into the next song, Southern Rock. Leave my heart still pounding. You can almost see them performing this in their garage. Being like,
I like this song. This is probably the best song.
I think too, and I don't know if it's because they're a trio, but I feel like the bass is really well represented in their stuff.
Yeah,
like there's some stuff where you're just like, oh yeah, I guess there's a bass player in this band, but it's more just to kind of like keep everything going. But like, it seems like such a richer part of some of these songs.
I mean, this when they recorded this, there's two different guitars that are playing. There has to be.
Not just one. You're the double.
I don't know. I feel like this is, because when you see them live, Skiba can really control
it. It's really easy. Yeah. Maybe.
And they rarely have a fourth guitarist.
Yeah.
Unlike bands like Green Day is doing that now. I think Blink-182 is doing that as well.
Nirvana,
so.
Edda gets a little backup and they wanted a bigger sound.
That's right.
Yeah, for bigger shows.
Let's go to that song that Marty was talking a little bit about earlier.
Here we go.
Message from Kathleen.
Does it start with a voice message?
Oh, yeah. A voicemail. On the answering machine.
That's what I figured.
This is a good break. This is a good breaking up of the girl song.
Yeah. watching Paul's face to gauge how he's liking this album.
So what do you think of Dan singing a faster song?
He sounds a lot like Green Day on this song, for sure. I can sense a Green Day on there. I mean, he's got a great voice, and I like that the lyrics, what you said, you know, that makes me like him more. There's certain songs, like, you know, they have a hook in them right away, and there's three of them I've heard so far that I'm like, okay, this is a hook. It's got a hook. It's catchy.
Also, too, this was like, you know, when people gave songs a little time for the hook, they didn't do it right away hit you over the head with it.
Well, you have 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Stop yelling at me.
And you got to think, another thing about Alkaline Trio is they didn't really have a lot of inspiration when it comes to it, because they were coming off of bands like The Clash and all these poppier, like Elvis Costello, who were considered punk rock, but no one really made skater punk rock back in the 60s and 70s when their dad was spinning albums from them in their house.
Yeah, they created a song, that genre created
it. Well, like Jawbreaker.
Yeah.
Jawbreaker, which Dan was in. That was like the one that everybody, I believe he was in Jawbreaker.
Damn. Yeah.
And it was like, that was the band that everybody was just like.
Was Green Day the first to like bring it to?
They were like the Descendants before, way before
Descendants,
them.
Right,
Descendants.
Right.
Yeah, Bouncing Souls, and then. Yeah.
Butthole Surfers.
No.
Mr. Wizard's
a little
son.
Different. But no, that was like, there were a whole bunch of bands before them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like.
Of the power that get credited with the.
Oh, Primus.
Descendants, I think, is like the.
Grandfather of power punk.
Like the pop punk.
Pop.
For sure. That, I think they don't, and I don't think they get the credit they deserve. I think they are like the band.
Yeah, and even the Pixies kind of like brought a little bit different of a sound to it. So, all right, let's jump into the next one. We got Breathing. Oops, Trouble Breathing. We have Trouble Breathing here. And I'm going to.
This is about when he had his skating accident.
Is it? No. About a girl. Come on. It's about a girl.
All these songs theoretically could be.
That's what I remember. There was an old Mr. T experience. Again, a fun punk pop band that was more silly than anything.
Yes.
And I remember their shirt I had. It just said Mr. T experience, songs about girls.
Do you remember the Impossibles, too?
I do remember the Impossibles. I saw them open for Real Big Fish at the House of Blues.
Oh, no.
Real Big Fish.
One of the. I was talking to somebody, and they were like, unexpected concerts, like a band that did unexpectedly well. I remember probably around this time, we went to see Sugar Ray when they still had a little credibility left, a little street cred.
Just a shred.
This was
before the hit?
This was like right when Fly came out. They were on the Warped Tour.
They
were on the Warped Tour, and then they were doing the Metro by themselves. So we're like, and I remember Howard Stern would have them on. We're like, oh, let's go. This is great. Let's go see Sugar Ray. And Smash Mouth opened for them.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to tell you what, Paul. Smash Mouth blew them off the stage. Smash Mouth did such a great job. They basically just played that whole album, that Walking on the Sun album. They crushed. It was crazy. Don't ask why. Don't ask how. At that moment,
you went to go see Sugar Ray, and ended up liking Smash Mouth.
I was blown away at how good it was. I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if I can go back in time and see that show. If I'm like, oh, I don't know. But it was like a comic that went up before the headliner, and the whole crowd was just like, bring that one guy back up here again. We like him. And the headliner is having a hard time. So he's like, well, I guess, like Paul over here talking about whatever. And you're just like, oh, man, he's in your head. I don't know, man. It happened.
Assuming I ever was a feature that could blow anyone
away. Anyway, I'm just saying.
So are you still just to.
And no, I'm not
clear,
a Smash Mouth fan or anything like that.
Question.
On that night, that was the better band.
You were a fan.
But Marty, if they did not put out the Shrek album.
Yes.
Would you possibly give them a little bit more credit?
This was a different Smash Mouth.
Okay.
This was Walking on the Sun, Smash Mouth, you know?
Why do we always talk about Smash Mouth?
It comes up a lot. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want it to be like a punchline-y type of band of like, oh, the Nickelback or whatever. I mean, Smash Mouth, there's a lot of bands who, when they started, were on 120 Minutes, were on JBTV, had street cred, opened for, you know, or on the road with
Real
good
Big
bands.
Fish. Yeah.
Yeah. Real Big Fish. Hey, come on right there. That's a solid band. And then all of a sudden, you know, you can either go right or left, and some bands go right and some bands go left. And Smash Mouth went the way of the money and the way of like, oh, this is what people want? Okay, cool. You know, and we're going to have to say goodbye to our old fans. Green Day did the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
Of just,
but Green Day had, I mean, they sure they sold out, for lack of a better word, but they, I feel like there's some credibility there. I mean, they still write great songs that are timeless.
But to,
does Smash Mouth
but
have
to
any
certain
timeless
people,
songs?
But to certain punk rock aficionados, they'll say, oh, Green Day, ugh, get out of here.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. They could, okay, Kerplunk was great, but like, ugh, forget everything
are
else.
Are they going to, are or do people look at Dookie as the sellout of this genre?
I don't know. I mean, some people look at, like, you know, Nevermind as a sellout album.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Everybody, it depends how deep you want to go down your musical snobbery.
So if you are a music snob, Alkaline Trio music fan, who is the nemesis of this band or this album?
The nemesis?
The nemesi.
I mean, I think
who's
you get...
Feature,
I think,
that
well, I think, like,
the...
because they were from Chicago, they got sort of compared to, like, the Lawrence Armalot.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? So it was like, there might be some people who are like, no, that's a more of a punk rock band than Alkaline Trio, because they had catchy songs.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's like, what are you trying to do? Be famous? You got catchy songs? And it's
right.
Like, what do we catchy? Yeah,
what
catchy
are we
songs.
Doing? Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I miss the days when that was the biggest argument among music. It was just selling out. I mean, Real Big Fish wrote a song about it, and now I feel like all these Chicago bands can't even come close to the two biggest sellout bands, which are Fall Out Boy and Kanye West. So I mean, you're pretty much set for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
well, we got Chance the Rapper.
But I just think like,
oh, he didn't really sell out.
You know. Banger of songs, like, just to put out. I always wonder, like, as a band, what that must be like to either have, like, you know, you've got like a song where everyone's just kind of like, oh shit, you know, because I reading this book about Seattle,
right,
whenever everyone heard either Smells Like Teen Spirit or the whole album, they were all just like, oh, you're
this
gonna be famous.
Yes.
And like, this is it. And people were like, there was no doubt about it. Like, they tell a story, like, they were at a party and like Butch Vig brought like the cassette and they played it, and then they just were all standing around a picnic table in his backyard, and then it was over and he just hit rewind and played it again, and they were all just like, shit. And people were like, you guys,
yeah,
you know. And it was like, not like you're going to be the biggest band in the world and change everything, but it was that thing of
you
like
knew.
Somebody was like, dude, you're going to sell like 100,000 albums.
Yeah.
And people were like, get ready, you know. And like,
it's gonna change
somebody
everything.
Said like, you're going to be on the cover of Rolling Stone in a year and all this crazy stuff. But I always wonder, like, because I'll know how to write a joke and be like, oh, I think this is a good joke.
Mm-hmm.
But like, to have either a song or like a whole album, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're Billy Corgan and you have like, you know,
right,
Melancholy and Infinite Sand, and you're just like, dude, I'm gonna drop a double album and just bust everybody's ass open. You know what I mean? Like, that's gotta be like kind of like, but, and then I'm sure there are people who either thought they had that album or song, or everybody was telling them like, dudes, get ready, and they put it out and it's like, pff, nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never know. But I mean, I do feel like with that era, in the 90s, when Smashing Pumpkins was out, Nirvana, Pearl Jam,
everyone was buying
CDs.
Yep.
They were all, you listen to those albums and you're like, holy shit, like, this is amazing.
And to hear about the rivalry and stuff like that, because, you know, if you're Billy Corgan, as an example, and you see everybody saying, wow, Kurt Cobain's a genius, and you're like, I'm a genius.
What about me?
That's a thing.
And
that's like sports.
That's like sports. If you're just like, shit, I was in the league when Michael Jordan was in the league. If I was in the league now, I'd be awesome. But
it's like,
you were always second to Michael Jordan. And that's why I think, like, you know, if you're second to Kurt Cobain, it's like, oh, what are you going to do? You're second to Kurt Cobain.
But but a lot of people don't remember at that time frame, and we were talking about this, I think, before, at that year, 94, 95, mm-hmm. well, Nirvana was huge. Smells Like Teen Spirit was huge.
That was like 92.
I'm sorry, 92.
Yeah.
Those other albums were coming out, and there were a lot of people who were like Counting Crows, August and Everything After, Siamese Dream, Smashing Pumpkins. They were all
Smashing. Well, I think that those bands came after. I think people wanted lighter,
more
fluffier, you know, and that's where Counting Crows, Bush, those bands slipped right in, and they're just like
Cranberries.
Yeah. I mean, like, for real, like, there are those kind of songs, and it's like the reason why people liked, you know, some of those songs in that era was just like, you know, the reason why Chumbawamba had a hit was because people were like, I'm sick of all these people dying in these songs and all these songs about like my pain is self-chosen. You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, I can't deal with this Alice in Chains shit anymore.
Yeah.
And it's
then
there's a happy
too.
Like, you know, I got knocked
transition,
down and I get up again. It's like, or like Weezer or something. It's like, I want something fun.
Yeah.
Right time, right place. Speaking
of
that,
we got off on a tangent.
Sorry.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
All good, my friend. Let's get back to the album. Sorry About That.
Which is
another.
Here we go.
I did that purposely.
This is another one of those. This is a good one. I like this one.
Been that long since we drank to the sunset until it was gone. Down with it when our pain and fear.
I love when Matt Skiba just gets passionate about these songs about
this
girls.
This line though, yeah, when he's like, he's got a real line in here about just dating a bit of a chaotic gal. It's like, yeah,
this is a cool song.
Yeah. Wait till you hear the hook. Yeah.
Can we just talk about how cool it would be to be one of, I mean, a person whose a song is written
his
about.
His muse in this? Yeah.
You know she still goes around saying that.
Yeah, that's about me.
I'm the queen of
what
pain.
A girl's like, yeah, is that joke about me? Like, no.
Look at this. Without wearing a stitch of clothing, we were both deeply in disguise. Here we go.
Clavicle.
Listen to this line.
Just set aside the fact that you were broken hearted. My own special selfish way.
I had a Napster version of this where he fucks up playing and he goes whoops and then keeps playing. I got like an earlier version of this song. He just goes whoops. I'm like, whoa, cool.
That
I would have kept it in.
It's so funny because I had the same thing and I thought my friend Peter was he goes, I need way more bass in my headphones.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Like on
yeah.
stage.
Yeah.
Just such a cool band, man. Such a cool band.
This is a good song.
And it's a nice like wind down after a album of just like rah. It's like a nice little like. That's
I like that. I like his guitar playing on that part too. It's just the sliding of not a slide guitar.
Yeah, I like hearing the like scratches on the strings. So I like that.
I like the way he mics it up. It's a great album for you guys. You like what I did there? There was a few good songs. I definitely am more open-minded than I'm going to take a listen to them again. Probably not going to see them in concert just because I don't want to get into that satanic thing.
At this time
in my life.
Then
you're
getting
just,
Anton LaVey books. And yeah. I get it.
I don't want to get into tattoos.
That. If I get a matching tattoo with Marty's, it's probably not going to be that one.
There's a lot of us out there.
Is that the only band tattoo you have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so you're a diehard.
Yeah. I almost did. I'm trying to think what other ones I almost did. I almost did a couple different ones. I always did the Milo from Descendants.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. No. No. Yeah, no, I almost did a couple silly ones.
Yeah, no. Some of those times, yeah, I was listening to Blind Melon. I'm like, man, should I get a tattoo of the Bee Girl? And then I was like, no, it's not gonna take.
Full back tattoo of that, maybe.
Maybe nice. Another lifetime, but no, that's we have to rate the album now.
Yes.
Marty.
That's what we do.
The way we rate it, it's out of 11, because if you go on Facebook or any of the internet, 11 is when you can no longer see the names.
Yeah.
So ours is 11.
Yeah.
And it's a like 11 likes. You can use emojis to describe your love of the album. So
yes.
Who's going first?
I think I'll go first to set the table.
Okay.
Alkaline Trio's album, the debut album, God damn it. As I mentioned before, this band kind of encompassed love and punk rock, skate punk rock, especially in a small town of which I grew up in. I probably have spun this album more times than I can even count. I'm going to give this a solid as a rock. 10 likes.
Whoa!
10 likes.
That's your highest rating ever.
It's the highest rating ever. I'm going to give it, obviously, the rock and roll symbol of the devil horns.
Okay.
I'm going to give it the guy. Is there a mustache guy? Because I want to give it for that Satan guy that we were talking about.
Anton LaVey.
Anton LaVey. The devil horns, mustache, the devil itself, and then I'm also going to give it just...
You can't have four emojis and 10.
Okay. I'm taking out the devil. I'm going to put it just a smiley face because it makes me so darn happy. And this is a great album. Go out and pick it up, Marty. What do you think?
Yeah, I won't say it's perfect, but I'll say a 10. I'll give it a 10.
Ten
also,
likes.
Yes.
No emojis.
No, I'll give it 3 pentagrams. Is there a pentagram emoji?
You just see the number 6 3 times.
3 sixes. Yeah. Some coffins. I'll throw a coffin or two in there. And
a needle, a clavicle perhaps.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else I have. Oh, I have coffins around my Alkaline Trio. I have coffins and bats around my Alkaline Trio tattoo.
Chicago flag?
Sure, yeah. So yeah, that's what I would give it.
I'm going to go a little different than you guys.
You don't say.
I'm going to give it three likes.
No!
Three and a half likes.
That's insane.
One for each of the three songs that I liked a lot.
I find that.
I like the three songs.
It's a bit offensive, in fact.
I'm going to give the skateboard emoji because it did remind me of when I had a Mark Gonzalez Vision skateboard.
Sure.
And then I'll give it the number six, but then a nine too, just to be like, hey man.
I almost got one of my old tattoos. I almost got 668 Neighbor of the Beast. Tattooed on my wrist.
Changing it up?
Yeah, a little different. And then a mailbox that was smashed in. But I never got it.
Is there a song called Mailbox Smash?
Well, no, but you know, the whole 666.
No.
Sign of the Beast.
Well, I don't know the mailbox.
Yeah, what about the mailbox?
Well, because I would be 668 Neighbor of the Beast. So that I would be the devil's neighbor.
What's the significance of being the neighbor to the devil?
I just think it's funny because it's like 666, the mark of the beast. So I'm the neighbor of the beast.
Oh, the mailbox would be eight because you're on the same side of the street.
Yeah, same side of the street. 667's across the street. I'm right next door.
So 669 would be across the street also.
Yeah.
And it's got its second meaning.
Yeah.
If you like love and
sure.
Waking up next to a girl's clavicle. Well, actually, if you're 69, it would be more like the tendon, the heel.
I think Paul would have liked maybe Bowling for Soup a little more, maybe.
I think
you're more of a Bowling for Soup kind of guy.
Next album we're going to be doing.
1985. No, I get. Yeah, this is good.
Bowling for Soup?
Yeah.
I don't know. Your credibility, Marty, when you started saying how Smash Mouth.
Listen, I think everybody on any night can, you know, there's
everyone
the old
has
where Leonard Skinner blew the Rolling Stones off the stage.
Sure.
You know, there's times where
Skinner's a great out.
It's
great,
not.
Great
it's
band.
Not. Maybe it's not your day, or maybe it is their day, or maybe it's just.
Green
I mean,
day.
Like, look, they weren't going against a super powerhouse. They were, you know, and
but
it was
you paid money to see Smash Mouth and Sugar Ray as an adult child. You weren't like 16.
No, I was like 20.
Yeah,
yeah. But again, you don't. They didn't. Both of those bands didn't debut as what they are right now. It wasn't like Mark McGrath is like, hey, after this, I got to go do Access Hollywood or Extra or some bullshit show. Or the Smash Mouth guys were like, we're going to be on a Disney soundtrack. It wasn't, they were still, you know.
If you could have the $20 you spent back, would you do it?
First of all, it was probably about $10 because it was 97.
You probably bought Shrek.
Or eight. I did not buy the Shrek soundtrack. I don't even think I bought... I might have bought
you
that.
You bought a beer.
Yeah, I don't know. I might have bought the Smash Mouth album. I might have bought it.
All right, guys. For the next album, we will be covering Smash Mouth.
Oh, no.
Walking on the Sun.
No.
We'll see. Hey,
we have a VHS, shaky VHS cassette recording of that day at the Metro, that night at the Metro.
Marty, where can people find out more about you and your podcast?
Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling on all podcast platforms and at Marty DeRosa on all the other social media things as well.
And Paul Farver, if you want to shit on me more for not liking your band Alkaline Trio, it's just paulfcomedy.com or at Paul Farver, Instagram, and all that good stuff on Twitter. And our Twitter is at Two Guys, One Album.
Two Guys spelt out with the numbers. Two Guys, Number One Album at twitter.com. You can find me at michaelheideman.com. Guys, this was so much fun. Marty, you got to come back, man. This is a blast.
Yeah, and I'll see everybody at the Riot Fest singing along to the Alkaline Trio.
Hell
the front row holding his clavicle.
You bet.
And this was another episode of Two Guys,
One Album.